Welcome to the Howie Silbiger Show on the True Talk Radio Network. Get in on the conversation. Call 1-877-669-1292.
And I'm Howie Silbiger. Welcome to the Howie Silbiger Show right here on the True Talk Radio Network. We're going to do a short show today. I'm not really feeling all that great, and I could not come on because so much has happened. I have to talk to you about it. But at the same time, I don't think I have the stamina to do a full-length show, so we're going to do a shorter show. I will come back on later on in the week, though, and do a longer show when I'm feeling a little better. So thank you so much for your understanding, and let's get on with the show. We'll start off in Mumbai. Well, no, not really Mumbai, because you know, I always think it's Mumbai because this happened in Mumbai, and it happened again in the United Arab Emirates. And unfortunately, it happened to the same family, which is the real scary part of this whole thing, is that it happened to the exact same family. So, in the United Arab Emirates, there was a rabbi. He was a Chabad rabbi. His name was Rabbi Tzvi Kogan, and he was appointed by Chabad to be the Chabad emissary to the United Arab Emirates. His connection to Mumbai is that he's the nephew of the Chabad people who were killed in Mumbai years ago, 16 years ago. And he is the cousin to the boy who survived, the only son of the Chabad emissaries in Mumbai that survived. Now, Rabbi Kogan ran the Chabad in the United Arab Emirates fairly well, according to all accounts. He was a very good Chabad rabbi. And on Thursday, he vanished. Disappeared without a trace. And today, this morning, Chabad released a statement saying, "With great pain, we share that Rabbi Tzvi Kogan, Chabad Lubavitch emissary to Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates, was murdered by terrorists after being abducted on Thursday. His body was recovered early Sunday morning. Please do a mitzvah in the merit in memory of Rabbi Tzvi Kogan." It's not surprising to me that a Chabad emissary was murdered in Mumbai. When you have an ideology that you have to hate Jews, and that's inbred into your children and taught in schools, as it was in the UAE, it doesn't disappear when you sign a piece of paper. These kind of ideologies tend to hang around. I remember back in the 1990s when I went to the March of the Living as a 17-year-old and landing in Warsaw and seeing the hatred in the eyes of the Warsaw people, in their faces. It was obvious hatred. People who hadn't seen Jews in 40 and 50 years suddenly hated Jews that arrived in their country. And then seeing the full carts in the town square, the statues of Jews with payas and long noses, or Jews with horns. And then, of course, seeing the die-cast metal keychains at the gift shop at the Auschwitz death camp. You knew right there and then that the love of Jews was not predominant in Poland. And so why Jews would want to move back to Poland, or Jews move to United Arab Emirates, or Jews move anywhere, or visit anywhere that Jews are hated, is beyond me. We're just putting ourselves into danger for no reason. But United Arab Emirates, they love Jewish money, and they set up kosher places, and they made it very comfortable for Jews to go there. And now we're starting to see Jews being killed there. Perhaps, maybe, we should take this as a sign that we should slow down in visiting countries that used to hate us, countries that signed peace agreements with us. Maybe we should slow down and realize that the hateful ideology carries forth from generation to generation. It doesn't just disappear. Now we see hate on the streets of Montreal. So in downtown Montreal on Thursday, there was a Thursday, by the way, the same day that the Chabad rabbi in the UAE was kidnapped and killed. And on Thursday night, there was a mass protest in Montreal. On Thursday, there was a mass protest in Toronto. It was coordinated. It's all coordinated. A mass protest in favor of Hamas. In Toronto, they sat in an armchair, much similar to the one that Yahya Sinwar sat on before the drone blew him up, with YS written on the back of the chair. And a man dressed up like Sinwar, sitting on the chair, commemorating the murderer as a hero, as a martyr. These kind of displays should not be allowed. Also, in Toronto, they march down the street with Nazi flags because pro-Hamas people are in pro-Nazi people. They go hand in hand. In Montreal, they attack Concordia University and they attack the Palais de Congrès. Palais de Congrès had a meeting of world leaders, and so they were attacked. And Concordia University is the prime attack place for the Arab mob. It's where they plan out their attacks and then where they actually attack. The university's lobby was destroyed yet again. Seems like every time there's a Hamas riot in downtown Montreal, Concordia University has spent millions of dollars replacing glass and repairing their building. The notable part of this whole thing is not so much that there was a riot, that's expected, not so much that that it was a violent riot, that's kind of expected at this point, not so much that the police didn't intervene, that's kind of expected at this point, not so much that there were no real condemnations from any politicians, that's to be expected, no, not that there was no condemnation from Concordia University, that's to be expected. We know that there's no love for Jews in the city of Montreal, both in the political world or in the academic world. But the thing that really, really stood out at that rally was a woman who was standing on the corner of Mackay and De Maisonneuve, right on the corner of Concordia University. And her name is Mai Abdulhadi. And she was Nazi saluting the counter-protesters, the pro-Israel protesters that were there, and yelling at them that the final solution is coming for them. Now, for those of you who don't remember what the final solution is, here's a crash course. It was Hitler's solution to murder the Jewish people. It was the setting up of concentration camps. It was the systematic elimination of the Jewish people. And this is what she was yelling for. This is globalizing the Intifada. If we don't understand what globalizing the Intifada is, this is what globalizing the Intifada means. And so she was standing on the corner yelling that and being recorded, and she really didn't care if they were recording her. And so the rally ended. But Maya Abdulhadi's problems just started. You see, Maya Abdulhadi was also the owner of the most profitable second cup coffee shop franchise in Canada. And that second cup coffee shop franchise was located at the Jewish General Hospital. So here is a woman who's making her living at the Jewish General Hospital yelling for the extermination of Jews in front of Concordia University. Well, Second Cup didn't really appreciate that. Doesn't really make them look good to have a franchisee yelling for the final solution and doing Nazi salutes. That doesn't really sit well. It didn't really sit well with Second Cup. And they issued a statement on Saturday. Actually, it was on Friday. They issued a statement saying, last night our franchisee at the Jewish General Hospital was filmed making hateful remarks and gestures. Second Cup has a zero tolerance for hate speech. In coordination with the hospital, we've shut down the franchisee's cafe and are terminating their franchise agreement. This franchisee's actions are not only a breach of our franchise agreement, but they also violate the values of inclusion and community we stand for at Second Cup. So kudos to Second Cup for taking action immediately against the franchisee who was calling for the murder of Jews. It just seems like a natural thing to do, but we can't take it for granted that most corporations will do that, because they won't. But Second Cup had the moral fortitude to get up and do this, and we must appreciate that, we must recognize it, and we must say thank you for it. The Jewish General Hospital agreed with Second Cup. How could you have somebody calling for the final solution of the Jewish people serving coffee in a Jewish hospital? Food, which could be poisoned, which could be tampered with to cause mass chaos in the hospital. Who knows? If a person is calling for the murder, for the assassination, for the genocide of a people, who knows what they could do in their own coffee shop that services many, many people? So the hospital shut down the coffee shops. So the coffee shops are shut down at the Jewish General Hospital at the moment, while a new franchisee is going to be put into place. And it's all for the good. I'm so happy I could talk about something at the hospital. Last time I spoke about the hospital on this show, I got fired from the hospital. So it's good that I'm talking about the hospital in a good light. I appreciate that. I appreciate the fact that we can say kudos to the hospital and kudos to Second Cup for doing the right thing. The International Criminal Court has issued an arrest warrant for Prime Minister of Israel, Bibi Netanyahu, and for Gallant, who was at one point the Defense Minister of Israel. The idea behind this is that the so-called State of Palestine complained that Israel was committing a genocide in Gaza. So I'm going to quote Karim Khan, who said, "A state that doesn't exist has asked a court that has no authority to issue a warrant for the arrest of a leader of a sovereign state for a crime that didn't happen." The idea of arresting a country that was defending itself is completely ludicrous. And the fact that Israel is the only country in the world that would be asked to not defend themselves when attacked, the only country in the world that would be held to this standard, is a sure sign of anti-Jewism. I'm Howie Silberger. Thank you for joining me. I will be back with a longer show, analyzing a lot more stuff and talking about a lot more things in the near future, in the next couple of days. Thank you so much. I'll see you then.